Thank you for having me. We are here at this conference to introduce specifically the love that is present and faithfully upheld in the choice to follow natural family planning rather than other forms of unnatural contraception. Other speakers will specify the human body's natural response to following NFP, as well as unlocking the positive response of the soul and giving personal testimony. It is my hope to introduce to you another powerful aspect of the human person, the mind. Our brains, the great epicenters of our actions, separating us from all other living things, play an important part in our fertility as well. Our brains are wired to keep us healthy and happy by protecting, satisfying, healing, interpreting, and responding. The title of my talk is Hardwired to Love and Be Loved. Now, this title can only apply to us as human beings, who were each created with a specific design in every part of our functioning being to give and seek love. The human person is unique in the created order because through his mind, body, and soul, he is ordered towards goodness, his ultimate end being union with God. Our late Holy Father, John Paul II, taught that a communion of persons occurs when two people freely give themselves to each other and accept one another in love. Thus, true love can only exist in this mutual self-gift. For us as human beings, and with no small amount of help from our fallen nature, self-gift has become a great challenge. Power and control are so much easier because we hope to cut out the possibility of loss and rejection. When I think of this desire for power in mankind, I think about the character of Gollum in J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. This character became so distorted with a power greater than what he was meant to handle that he began to both love and hate the ring that he pursued, yet could not free himself of the pursuit, even though he was deteriorating because of it. Many of us throughout our lives have found ourselves in a similar situation in which we desire so badly for a relationship to work out that we are willing to sacrifice our very selves to get or keep it, despite disliking the person we have become in that relationship. We convince ourselves that isolation is a strength and fail to see love as a gift that we long for. From my own experience growing up female in a sexually utilitarian culture, as well as working with women in mentally and sexually stressful situations, I have come to notice that we often confuse our dignity as men and women with that of an animalistic instinct. Men and women often believe that they have to choose between respect and desire, seeing them as incompatible. On top of that, I have often witnessed the belief that men and women have the superhuman ability to shut down the actions of our minds and our bodies at will, such as when engaging in a temporary sexual encounter and one or both of the partners convince themselves that there will be no lingering feelings or emotional effects of this action. Upon deeper study of the brain and the hormones released during sexual activity, it is clear that the human being is designed to experience emotional and physical effects from every sexual encounter, and it is not physically possible to will this natural function not to happen. I want to quickly highlight two important glands in the endocrine system that produce and secrete hormones. These two glands are most effective in ensuring that the body and mind are naturally working together in every sexual experience. They are also the glands most negatively affected by the use of artificial chemical contraceptives. The pituitary gland, also known as the master gland, is located at the base of the skull and is responsible for secreting the hormones that constantly travel through our bloodstream. The pituitary gland has the responsibility of controlling testosterone production in males and ovulation and estrogen production in females. These actions are hardwired within a healthy, functioning human person. The hypothalamus, located above the pituitary gland, governs emotional behavior such as anger and sexual activity. The hypothalamus is responsive to stimuli such as pheromones and controls the release of oxytocin, the bonding hormone, and vasopressin, the protective hormone. Oxytocin is naturally released during sex, labor, and breastfeeding in order to bond a woman to her partner and her child. Vasopressin, which has been nicknamed the monogamy molecule, is released in men after sex and is believed to be the hormonal cause influencing him to be protective of his partner and offspring. As well, a man's cortisol or stress levels increase and his testosterone decreases during pregnancy, allowing him to focus on his growing family and remain faithful to his spouse. Men also release prolactin, which is the nursing hormone, for 6 weeks after the birth of their child. And as well, their testosterone levels will never go back to being as high as they were before the man had children. These are all physiological proofs that men are indeed hardwired for fatherhood. In women, synchronized menstruation has also been linked to the pheromonal cues detected by the hypothalamus. For instance, when every non-contracepting woman on the dorm room floor begins to cycle at the same time. This was a necessary occurrence for the survival of our ancestors in a time before baby formula was invented. If women in tribes were cycling together and giving birth at relatively the same time, they would be able to nurse an infant whose mother died or was unable to produce breast milk. Therefore, you can see that these hormonal chemicals in the brain are both important in stabilizing human society and unavoidable, even in the cases of casual sex. The various forms of birth control, which are regularly taken by multitudes of women and given with medical approval, act in opposition to the natural functions of the mind and body. A perfectly normal functioning reproductive system is shut down and treated as disease, often for the benefit of a social outcome, recreational sex, and optional infertility. In most oral contraceptives, an artificial chemical hormone is given, and to a certain extent, the two glands in the brain that coordinate the ovulation process in the ovaries, the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus, are inhibited chemically. Hormonally based birth controls alter the hypothalamus and pituitary gland function by mimicking a pregnancy state. This prevents the ovarian cycle from entering the menstrual phase, as well as the prevention of follicle development and ovulation. Thus, the body believes itself to already be pregnant via the synthetic progesterone in the birth control, and the hypothalamus and pituitary gland cease from their normal function of ovulatory hormone release. Because of this happening in the brain, many women will notice similar pregnancy symptoms when using artificial hormones, such as weight gain, nausea, headaches, decreased libido, and mood swings. We as a society are now 52 years into the use of oral contraceptives to prevent fertility, and still there is not one disease that has been proven to be treated by their use, although they are prescribed for anything from acne to endometriosis. Oral contraceptives may suppress some of the symptoms of these diseases, but do not cure or treat the underlying problem, and may in certain cases cause the disease to get worse due to lack of proper identification and treatment. Birth control has become the one-size-fits-all band-aid solution for a whole gamut of female concerns. Dr. Thomas Hilgers, the director of the Pope Paul VI Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction, stated that for adolescents who are often placed on birth control pills for severe menstrual cramps, in our experience, the incidence of endometriosis in that population is 100%. Now, I don't know how many of you are statistics people, but those are pretty high odds. Speaking from my own personal history, I can tell you that I was one of those women mentioned who suffered from severe menstrual symptoms on a monthly basis. At 16 years old, I went to my family practitioner about these symptoms, and 10 minutes later, I walked out of the office with a prescription for oral contraceptives. Thankfully, I listened to my body, and several months after taking them, I decided to discontinue due to the undesirable side effects. Many years later, after getting engaged, my husband and I began to plan for the future by taking natural family planning classes. We both knew that we were not going to have me putting something unnatural in my body, especially when it caused so many negative side effects and had no purpose outside of convenience. This also seemed ridiculous to us that I would put an artificial chemical hormone in my body, considering that my husband and I go out of our way to eat healthy foods without hormones or antibiotics. On top of that, we both wanted to be part of our fertility and to share the experience rather than only one or the other of us being responsible. The church's teaching seemed to make logical sense to us since we wanted to share everything going into marriage, and fertility seemed like a pretty big part of that. As with most NFP couples, we also found that my husband began to enjoy the charting and began to know and understand my cycle better than I did. He was the one pointing out red flags and explaining to me why certain symptoms might be occurring. I would have to say that this is the only safe way a man can bring up PMS to a woman as a possible problem without getting decked for it. It was then, when we began charting my cycle, that I discovered so many things about my own body and how to detect red flags beyond the painful symptoms I had always experienced. My husband and I struggled to get pregnant for several months, although we were following our charting exactly. This led us to seek a practitioner who was experienced in natural family planning and worked with us and our charting. I had a hormone test done over the course of a menstrual cycle that showed an estrogen dominance with insufficient progesterone influence. Due to the quick spike of my estrogen and the delayed support of progesterone, it was likely that I would not achieve pregnancy without intervention. I realized that without NFP, the intervention options would be unnatural suggestions, and that so many desperate women turn to these without knowing the successful options available through NFP and NAPRO technology. I was put on a bioidentical progesterone hormone during the luteal phase of my cycle. This is not to be confused with the HMA artificial hormone often used in oral contraceptives. The result, as you can see, after only 1 month of using the progesterone, was an achieved pregnancy and an expected baby boy due in early November. When I think about natural family planning, the ironic thing is that it gives the couple much more control over their sexuality and the desired outcome than that of birth control. The couple becomes aware of when she is ovulating, why she may be acting a certain way, if there are any serious changes in her cycle to bring to the attention of a medical professional, and ultimately when conception may and may not be achieved. As well, there are many women who seek antidepressants and other mood stabilizers because of the very serious symptoms they experience from PMS, without realizing that the hormonal changes are in fact PMS and due to her changing fertility cycle and may be caused by an imbalance in one of her fertility hormones. I want to touch briefly on the topic of semen as well and how barrier methods such as condoms can impede the positive chemical effects naturally designed in our bodies and our brains for our good. Scientific research over the past 13 years has proven that only 1 to 5% of male semen is comprised of sperm. The remaining 95% is comprised of a combination of at least 50 different compounds, many of which are mood enhancers, antidepressants, anti-anxiety agents, and bonding chemicals. Some of these chemicals released in male semen are cortisol, which increases affection, estrone, which elevates mood, prolactin, which is a natural antidepressant, oxytocin, which elevates mood and bonding, a thyrotropin-releasing hormone, which is an antidepressant, melatonin, which is a sleep-inducing agent, and serotonin, which is the most well-known antidepressant neurotransmitter. These chemicals released in the male semen are absorbed by the female for 15 hours after intercourse and stimulate bonding structures in the brain, causing partners to literally think of the other as an actual part of him or herself. This physiological effect gives great meaning to the idea of a one-flesh union and the two becoming truly one flesh. A 2010 article published in the Scientific American summarized 10 years of research proving considerable evidence that women who do not use condoms are less likely to suffer from depression and suicidal tendencies. Now, as you can imagine, these positive benefits are much more effective in a secure and committed marriage, rather than a relationship in which there is not a commitment. In the latter case, a woman is absorbing all of these bonding chemicals, which are allowing her to truly see her partner as a part of herself, and then she is not experiencing that follow-through in reality. This can become very confusing because the brain and the body are working together to say yes, but the behavior of one or both partners is rejecting nature and saying no. Perhaps one of the most interesting findings in all of the research that I have done on the natural and unnatural hormonal effects on the body and the brain is that of natural attraction and mate selection in both animals and especially human beings. Vicky Thorne, the founder of Project Rachel, has written and spoken extensively on the biochemistry of sex, explaining biological responses triggering natural attraction and how this may be altered when using artificial hormones. The terminal nerve in the brain, in conjunction with the olfactory system, allows a woman to recognize her baby by scent and vice versa. As well, a female's first sense of attraction to a male is through scent. Thorne explains how a female who is not contracepting is attracted to a man whose immune system is a complement to her own, and therefore the possibility of successful fertility with this person is enhanced and safeguarded. On the other hand, the chemically contracepting female is attracted to a male whose immune system is like her own or that of her father's. This causes a reproductive challenge because this mate selection has produced evidence that mates with similar immune systems are prone to experience increased difficulty conceiving, higher miscarriage rates, and higher rates of children with anomalies. This is based on the MHC, or major histocompatibility complex, which are molecules in the body that mediate the interactions of immune cells and also determine compatibility of organ donors and autoimmune susceptibilities. Further studies concerning the MHC and olfactory system have also shown evidence that women who choose a mate while contracepting may not feel the same attraction to that mate after discontinuing the artificial hormones. This can obviously cause a major relationship dilemma, especially within marriage. Men as well have a biological response to fertility and are able to perceive fertility, infertility, and pregnancy through a woman's emitted pheromones. In this way, men have a natural biological attraction to women who are not contracepting, especially during periods of fertility and ovulation, when a woman's pheromones actually assist in elevating the man's sperm count. The woman who is contracepting does not have the same pheromonal shift throughout her cycle as does the woman who is cycling naturally without chemical hormones. Dr. Janet Smith, who put out the famous CD Contraception, Why Not?, speaks about this magic of sexual attraction as well, and how while contracepting couples divorce at the rate of about 50%, couples using natural family planning almost never divorce. Smith attributes this, on one level, to the fact that men living in households with women who are going through fertile cycles are less likely to stray. In fact, Smith calls these men very married and satisfied in their marriage. Pheromones can play funny tricks on us in the one-flesh union of marriage as well. It is reported that 60 to 80% of men experience Couvade syndrome, also known as sympathetic pregnancy, which is psychosomatic. And this is when a mate can experience anything from weight gain, nausea, altered hormone levels to postpartum depression. These symptoms can become such a problem for some men that are reported 20% of them actually seek medical attention for these symptoms. And you know that for some men to go to the doctor of their own will must be due to serious concern. In summary, God has truly created the human person to be a masterpiece of his own image and likeness. The awesome work of the brain, the hormones, and the pheromones working together with the intricate body and the eternal soul has designed us to be hardwired to love and be loved. Yet we are also given a will and the freedom to choose to accept or reject love, as well as to control and distort love. Using a method of natural family planning in marriage is a great way for a couple to be united in their fertility, to share in the responsibility of family planning, to avoid unnatural daily chemicals absorbed into the woman's body, and to relinquish the artificial power and control that ultimately separates us from one another and God, as Gollum experienced in his obsession with the ring. In the practice of natural family planning, neither partner is able to be used as an object of utility, and both partners must come to a respect and appreciation for the body and its natural cycle. As Pope John Paul II said in his work, Love and Responsibility, a person's rightful due is to be treated as an object of love, not as an object for use. Thank you.